of stuff going on. There's a lot of good stuff going on. And one of those good things, I want to tell you, this is a praise. In our region, the SEMO area, for the Operation Christmas Child shoe boxes, we packed a couple hundred of them from our church, right, and sent them out. And for this whole area, there were 17,848 shoe boxes collected. Amen. Isn't that awesome? And here's the count for the United States for 2018. This makes me happy. 10.6 million shoe boxes packed in the United States of America and sent out to different parts. I say, praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. And you know what? I can actually prove to you where at least some of our boxes went. Botswana, Africa. I know it for a fact because I got a call from Botswana. It's kind of interesting. Unfortunately, you put a check in your group of boxes to cover the shipping, and our check wound up in Africa. So we've been wondering why it didn't get cashed. But nonetheless, it was really neat to find out where our boxes ended up. And so we're going to get all that other stuff straightened out in the days to come. But just want to praise God because it's awesome to be able to be included in the work of God. Amen. Does anybody else have anything they want to praise the Lord for? Shelly? Amen. We're here. Anything else? Yes. Yeah. They just went ahead and, making sure that we have an opportunity to meet. That's a good idea. Amen. Anything else? You know, we can meet on different days of the week, can't we? Yeah. It's all right. Saturday, Sunday, we even meet on Wednesday, right? That's awesome. Any other praises? Brooke? Amen. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Amen. We're thankful to snow because you guys came to join us today. Now, we're blessed. Blessed to be able to meet, and all those praises are awesome. We're going to have a little bit of prayer. Yes, Tara. Awesome. That's good. Want to praise God for... Amen. Amen. Want to praise God that for marriage. Marriage is a good thing, isn't it? Biblical marriage is a wonderful thing. What I'd like to do is also have a word of prayer. I know you guys might have some stuff on your hearts as well. If you do, you can mention, this is just time to take prayer requests, but I'd like to mention first that Paul Pope, our director of missions, had a really bad stroke, and he's in a hospital down in Springfield right now, and so let's be in prayer for him and our his whole family. He's a blessing to the family of God, and I know his immediate family's in turmoil right now, trying to figure out how this whole thing's going to work out. We know he's in God's hands, though. He loves the Lord. And he's up for whatever God's will is. I know that for a fact. So, do we have any other prayer requests? All right, well, let's go ahead and have a word of prayer for Brother Paul again. We did before Sunday school, but let's pray now. Dear God, we pray for our dear brother. Thank you, Lord, for his commitment to you, his desire to serve you. And Lord, I know that if you were to rescue him from this immediate danger upon his life, that whatever time that you give him, Lord, he'll serve you with it. And he's going to give you all the praise and the glory. So Lord, I believe that whether you decide to heal him or not, Lord, you're going to get the glory. And so I pray that you would bless him with healing, Lord, for our sake. We love him and we want him to be with us longer. But Lord, I know it's a little bit of a selfish prayer, but I also pray it for their family too. And I know they are very concerned, his wife Debbie and his children, Lord, and grandchildren. I pray that you just bless Brother Paul right now. And Lord, just keep your hand upon him. And we want to pray for all the other things that may be on our hearts that we wouldn't necessarily mention in public. Lord, I know everybody's got different things that they're thinking in their minds, possibly. So we just want to lift it all up to you. You know it all. I pray that we'll be a praying church and that you'll save our nation. In Jesus' name, amen. To our time in the Word, we're going to be in Acts chapter 16 right now. And so you should have a copy of the sermon notes. And I promised you the last time we were going to look at a map, and then I forgot about it. And so we skipped over that part. But we'll get to that a little bit later on in this message. And today we're going to be talking about God's power and how it prepares the way for the gospel. You know, it just dawned on me while we were praying here today. We're praying for God to send out missionaries. We are all full-time missionaries, you know. But from the sense of a full-time missionary going to another place for that specific purpose, you know, we might, some of us kind of think that God's sending somebody else, but He may be calling you. He may be calling each one of us. And we need to be willing. I'm going to be honest with you. Never thought that I'd ever move. And didn't really have a desire to. I liked the house that we were in. Never thought I'd ever get a passport and go anywhere in other than here in the United States. But as God calls, God opens doors. And that was one of the reasons why I didn't really want to surrender to God. It's because I just knew that He was going to, if I surrendered to Him, He was going to move me to Africa, right in the middle of the hottest part of Africa. And I really don't like heat and humidity. And I'd watched a few Tarzan movies, and they always looked extremely hot and sweaty. And it looked pretty dry most of the time, and I'm thinking, man, that just don't look good at all. And so, you know, I'm just sharing, that is honestly one of my fears. It was. But I can tell you, if God called me there and opened a door today, and I knew for sure it was Him, it wouldn't bother me at all. I'd go wherever He calls. And I believe that He sent our family down here as missionaries to Washington County, Missouri. You guys, you're probably thinking, I'm a hometown person. I didn't think we needed missionaries, but apparently God thought you did. And so we came, and we sold our house, and we moved down here, and we're part of this group. And I want to encourage you that no matter what God calls you to, He's going to open the doors. He's going to prepare the way for the gospel to go with you. And right now, Rebecca's friend, boyfriend, Alex is over in Germany taking some classes for his college education, and I believe God sent him there as a missionary. And so we're going to continue to pray for Alex as well. If you think of him, pray for him. He'll be a missionary while he's in Germany. He was expressing today that it's a little bit hard to find a good church where he's at. It's kind of a sad statement whenever you think about where he, what the town he's actually in was a town that Martin Luther actually lived in at one point. And they've gotten so far from the Lord that most of their churches look like museums rather than active, engaged, gospel-sending areas, you know, as God intended the church to be. But here's the deal. We're going to be talking about these missionaries here in Acts chapter 16. We realize that at the end of 15 they had a little falling out, and we talked about how God can use that too. He uses everything, and he actually doubled the missionary effort. They still went back to the churches where they had been, but they kind of went from both ends toward the middle, so everybody was getting a visit that way, and it was kind of awesome the way God did that with sending out Paul and Silas and then Barnabas and Mark. And so we got two missionary teams going out, and we pick it up in chapter 16. And let's just read starting at verse 1. Then he came to Derbe and Lystra, and this is Paul and Silas. And behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy. Do we ever pick up on that name Timothy anywhere else in the Bible? This becomes a pretty important person in Paul's life, right? And an important person in for the sake of the gospel in the days to come past this. And this young man, Timothy, he was the son of a certain Jewish woman who believed, but his father was Greek. Okay, so we've got a Jewish believer here in the town of Derbe. And this is the second time that Paul is going through this area. And so apparently this was one who came to belief because of Paul's first journey. We've got several people here that have been to Mexico with our Mexico mission teams. I know Bill and Sharon were there, and Rebecca, and Isaiah, and Shelley. and me, and I'm praying that we'll be blessed to go back in the future as well. But I've gone 3 times, and each time I've seen things, you know, progressing from our first trip to the second trip, and from our second trip to the third trip. Now, with whenever we went the first trip, we had around 50 people who responded to the Lord just through going and doing visits at homes and things of that nature. And then by the second trip, you know, I noticed that some of that had grown a little cool with some of the people. So we went back, did some more visits, but we noticed that there were a few more added that didn't necessarily come to the Lord just through our visit. So that means some of the people were inspired to go out and visit more. And there were more people that were coming to the Lord. And through us going back, it really helped to encourage some of the believers who had kind of grown a little bit cold. And in fact, by the third trip, one gentleman came up to me and he said, Romero is his name, he said, whenever we heard you guys were making the trip again and you were going to all that trouble, we realized we hadn't really been serving like we should. And so it really helped to get us into gear. Him and his wife both. Beautiful couple. Beautiful family. And so I want to praise God. You know, it really matters to follow up. Okay? It really matters to follow up. Because we're not called just to make converts. We are called to make disciples. And that's what Paul is doing. He's going back and he finds Timothy, who's come to the Lord. He's a disciple. And it's because his mother is a Jewish woman who believed, but his father was Greek. And let's pick it up, verse 2 there. He was well spoken of by the brethren who were at Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted to have him go on with him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in that region, for they all knew that his father was Greek. And we got to take a little time out there with that verse 3, because now we all know that Paul made it very clear that we were not bound by the Old Testament law anymore, right? In fact, we see the book of Galatians is all about the fact that you don't need to follow that Old Testament law of circumcision and things of that nature. And in fact, no one should try to force it on us. That's legalism, trying to save ourselves through the keeping of a law. But yet, he goes ahead and asks Timothy to do this in good faith. So why do you think he did that? Joe? Yeah. Okay, now, here's the deal. Whenever people came to belief and others came and tried to put more burden on them than what was required for them to get saved, there was a complete 100% answer of no. It's Jesus plus nothing for salvation. But whenever it comes to us being able to evangelize other people, I think that it is important that we take measures not to just totally offend people. Now, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to give you an example. I am free to eat anything that God puts before me that has been sanctified by prayer. The Bible tells me so. But if I were to try to live in an area where it was all Orthodox Jews or even Muslim people, I don't think I would want to flaunt that liberty before them to be an offense to them. Okay, so if I'm going to invite somebody over who may be a Muslim, and I know that they follow specific eating laws, they don't eat pork. And so I said, hey, come on over to my house. You know, and in my heart, I'm wanting to have a gospel conversation with them. I would not purposely make a ham that night, because that would be of great offense to them, even though I'm free to eat the ham. And if they come to Christ, I know they're free to eat the ham too. I wouldn't force it on them. I don't want to make anyone stumble, especially not in the process of trying to be an evangelist. And so that is exactly why Paul did this in this area of Scripture. It was because they were going to be going into areas where they're going to be reaching out to Jewish people. Where did Paul always go? The synagogue first. And if he took an uncircumcised man in there, even though that didn't save Timothy getting circumcised, Timothy was just as saved before he went through that ritual. If he would have taken him into the temple back in Jerusalem, or into one of these synagogues, the Jews who were unbelieving would have immediately thought that he was desecrating the temple, and that would have been a great offense to them. And so by doing this, it just helped them to have more of an open door to take the gospel with them. So I want to tell everybody here, if you're a Christian, you got freedom. Amen? And we enjoy our Christian freedoms. But we should never insist on those freedoms as some kind of a right that might hamper our ability to evangelize other people. And so we always want to keep it all in balance. That's what we see Paul doing. Paul was a missionary at heart. He was an apostle. He was a church planter. He was going forward. That was his number one goal. We too need to continue on. And so Paul wanted to have him go with him, it says in verse 3, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in that region, for they all knew that his father was Greek. Verse 4, and as they went through the cities, they delivered to them the decrees to keep, which were determined by the apostles and the elders at Jerusalem. Remember, this letter was about their freedom in Christ. They didn't have to follow all the Old Testament law. The main thing was they needed to keep themselves from being polluted by idols and the blood of animals and also sexual immorality. They just needed to have a basic code of morality there. Verse 5, so the churches were strengthened in faith and increased in number daily. I love that statement. Why isn't the church in America increasing in number daily? We need to pray. Pray that it will. We need to be active in making sure that it does as well in whatever way we can. But ultimately, we need the Holy Spirit to go out to give people a hunger. So let's continue to pray about that. Lord, please help the church in America to increase daily. Let it be strengthened. And I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 6, now, when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. Or Asia is the way that it would have been pronounced in the older language. After this, after they had come from Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. So passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. Now wait a minute. God wants us to take the gospel to all the nations, right? So would God really stop him from going in certain areas? This is the Holy Spirit, it says, that stopped him. Do you think God actually did that? The Bible says it, right? So we believe it. And so we need to kind of understand why. And I would just say it just wasn't time yet. You see, guys, what we're involved in, it really is a supernatural activity. Nobody can come to the Lord unless God is involved, right? And so we know that God desires that all men be saved, but it may not be the right time for every man at the moment. So how do we know the difference? This is where it gets scary for Christians. We actually have to follow God in an active relationship with Him every day. You see, we kind of like lists and plans and programs and all this stuff to be laid out before us on paper with a 5-year plan before we ever want to touch anything. God don't do it that way sometimes. It's okay to have a plan. Paul had a plan. His plan was to go to these different areas. He was going to go to Galatia. Or he had gone to Galatia, and the next place that he was going to go was Asia after that. God forbid it. Did Paul just say, well, that's it. God must not want me to be a missionary anymore. No. He just went where God opened the door. And so then he tested another area. And he passed through Mysia and he came down to Troas, you know, and he had been prevented from going into Bithynia. So he just went through Mysia to Troas. You see, guys, we need to be about the gospel business, just going, and as we go in an active relationship with God, and He'll be opening the doors. And as well as opening the doors, He'll be closing doors where we don't need to go, right? And so now, after he gets to Troas, in verse 9, a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. Well, man, we'd say, right there's an open door. But I can tell you what happens to most of us. We go, oh, well, that was just a dream. Now, I'm not picking on anybody, but I've done it to myself. And now, am I really sure that I really heard from God on that? Am I really 100% sure? And by the time we get done doubting it, we've done talked ourselves out of going. And then, the opportunity is over. Can I get an amen? Has anybody ever done that? Talked yourself out of it till the opportunity wasn't there no more? I think that we need to walk so closely with God that we actually just do what He says when He says it. And if we see that vision and we've been praying and we believe it's God and it don't go against the Scripture, we ought to do it. We need to live out loud with God all the time. We actually need to follow through. How many times has God given you opportunity and maybe told you to go across the street to your neighbor and you didn't do it? How many times did you do it? Whenever you did it, what I found is every time we go out on visitation from the church, we find a divine connection. Maybe not with every place we go to, but at least with some of the places we go to, we find that divine connection. And so it really is a blessing. But we've got to actually be going for that to begin to happen. So, hopefully at least some of the time we are obeying and we get to see how God really does open doors. And we've seen that so many times, it's always a blessing to me. But it seems like even though I learn, I still want to argue oftentimes whenever I get that first inkling from God. And I'll be honest with you, I have had at least one time that I didn't do it. The person died very shortly after, and I never got a chance. Never got a chance. It really taught me a strong lesson, too. We may only get that opportunity, so we want to make sure and make good of it. That don't mean it's all up to you, because we know it's God's power that does that. It's God's power that opens the door. Here's the deal. If He's opening the door, that means He's already working there. Verse 10. Now, after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia. Do you see that word immediately? Underline that word in your Bible. Immediately. That's a good word. Immediately they went. How many of us immediately follow God whenever He says something? Oftentimes we argue with Him, okay? But we need to immediately do it. That's a true relationship, and that's whenever He's really our Lord. So immediately they sought to go to Macedonia. They just tested the waters, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. Therefore, sailing from Troas, we ran a straight course to Samothrace, and the next day came to Neapolis. And from there to Philippi, which is the foremost city of that part of Macedonia, a colony. And we were staying in that city for some days. And on the Sabbath day, we went out of the city to the riverside where prayer was customarily made. And we sat down and spoke to the women who met there. Now, a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira who worshiped God. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. And when she and her household were baptized, she begged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay." So she persuaded us. Okay, Paul's plans. He had a plan to go. So they made plans, they got on the ship, they started going. He didn't have a hotel to stay in when he got there. He didn't have a party to meet him with all of his preparation stuff, in his itinerary for his speaking engagements or anything. Where did he go? He went to a place where others at least believed in God. And now, to all of us that are here today, I know we're kind of a small group, but I'm going to ask you, who does it say was meeting there by the river praying? The women. I noticed that. A lot of our churches still exist today because our ladies stayed faithful, amen? And so I want to say praise God for our ladies. And I can say that because this lady was willing to follow God with her whole heart, her whole household got saved, folks. And I say praise God for Lydia, amen? Isn't that a beautiful picture? So be faithful, ladies. It matters. Even if you find yourself down there with the other group of ladies at the river and none of us guys are showing up, you keep following the Lord. Now I say to the guys, don't you think there should have been some men down there praying too? I would guess so. But, you see, Paul didn't let that stop him. He went and looked for where the faith was. He knew that God was already preparing people before he got there, and so that's where he went. And the Lord was the one who opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul, verse 14. Guys, the reason why God sent Paul there is because he was already working faith in hearts. Isn't that amazing? So go where God sends you because that's where he's working. God prepares the people, guys. We need people. We need to go to people who are prepared. God prepares those people. You see, whenever they left here, God had already, you know, they started on their little journey here. God had already prepared a guy named Timothy. He was preparing him to go with them. And they didn't have to twist his arm, it don't look like. In fact, they didn't, you know, I'm just going to say, the process that he even agreed to would not have been something that would have seemed real pleasing to the flesh, so to speak. But you see, he went ahead. Timothy was already being prepared by God in his heart. That's who we need to just continue to go through life and go where God calls us and go where God sends us and find those people that God's working in their hearts, right? And how do we find that? We got to throw out some kind of a lure, right? How do you go fishing? Does anybody here like to fish? You take a lure, right? Something that the fish like to eat. And you throw it out there and you see, do they bite, right? It's the same thing with gospel fishing. We're fishers of men. And so we take a lure and we see if there's God's working in anybody's heart. If he is, we work there. God closes doors. We don't argue with God. We just say, okay, we'll go somewhere else. We got this guy here, Timothy. We get him prepared. Now we got another disciple going with us. And we're going to train him while we're going, right? This is how the church works. So God prepares the people, and then God leads the people to prepare. You see, because you had Timothy here, okay? He was preparing Timothy, but then he also helped Timothy to prepare himself. You see, all of us, whenever we start to see that God's moving in our life, then it comes down to us to decide, are we going to move with God and getting prepared? You see, a call to mission work is a call to prepare. A call to preach is a call to prepare. A call to be, a deacon or a servant in the church is a call to prepare, right? A call to any area of Christian service, a call to teach, is a call to prepare. And we see here, God leads the people to prepare. You know how you disciple people? You disciple people who are willing to be discipled. You disciple people who make themselves available to be discipled, right? And so we don't see that Paul put the same amount of energy into everybody. But he did put that energy into Timothy because Timothy showed he was willing. He was willing to be prepared. In fact, he even allowed his flesh to take on discomfort in this preparation. That's a pretty strong statement that's being made there. So God prepares people and God leads people to prepare. And God also closes doors. Sometimes we can think it's all going great. Man, I'm definitely in the center of God's will here. And then God says, whoa, going to change your direction a little bit here. You know, some people will insist on forging ahead. I would encourage us, you don't forge past what God allows you to have open doors for. And here we see in verses 6 and 7, you know, he had a plan, but he allowed the Spirit to be the one to lead him. We've been reading this book called Heavenly Man, and it was given to us by Audrey Pasha. And it's about a guy in China who got saved, and after he got saved, he didn't have a whole bunch of seminary training or anything. He just desperately wanted a Bible so he could read it. And you know, once this guy got a Bible, he fasted for 100 days to get this Bible. Okay, he only ate one simple meal a day for 100 days because he had no way to buy a Bible. And so he begged God to give him a Bible. He finally got a Bible. Do you know that man studied that Bible? He studied this Bible until Pastor Yoon is how we know him now, but Brother Yoon. And so he studied this Bible, guys. He was memorizing a chapter of Scripture a day. A chapter of Scripture, not a verse. A chapter of Scripture per day. And so then, he was preparing by praying, by being in God's presence, by taking in the Word of God every chance he got. But God used that man in incredible ways. In fact, he gave him a vision one night that there were people praying and fasted for him to come, that there were people literally had fasted 3 days for him to come and share the good news with them. And so he needed to go west, and he needed to go which other way? South? North? Two different ways, yes. He was just a 16-year-old kid, believe it or not, when all this stuff is happening. But anyway, he saw this vision, and so he started moving in the direction God had told him to, whichever direction it was. And he meets somebody who's coming toward him that said that their church had been, their people had been fasting for 3 days, wanting him to come and share. And so, like, God just showed him this. God opened this door, and I've been preparing for this message, and then we read this right in the middle of the week that we're going to prepare for God to send us out. Are you ready? Are you ready, folks? I was hoping to have everybody here today, but this is the ones God chose to send. Are you ready? Apparently, you're the ones ready because God sent you to be prepared, to be ready no matter where God sends us to go. Guys, thankfully, a lot of times, it's just in our neighborhood. It's not always on the other side of the globe. But here's my question. What if it is? Are we going to be willing? It's a willingness. That's what God's looking for. He's not looking for ability. He's looking for availability. And so if we're available, I think God will use us. Because you see, God closes the doors where he don't want us to go so that he can open the doors where he wants us to go. And that's exactly what was happening. He was closing this door, and he kind of hemmed Paul in. And we don't know how he closed those doors. We just know he did. And so then Paul goes over here, and then he closes this door. But it was so he could open another door. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After he'd seen the vision, immediately we, who got the vision? One guy, Paul. Immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to him. God gave a vision to the one guy, but they were so close and they were seeking God together that they all received it as though it was to everybody. And they went together. It's the unity of the church. And I'm just going to tell you, awesome things happen. Does God still do that today? He absolutely does, guys. Just sometimes we're not seeking him and we're not listening. I'm sure he's done it in your life some. And I pray that he'll continue to, and I pray you'll continue to listen. And I praise God for all of you, because I've seen this group that I'm sitting here with right now. I've seen you move in faith. I've seen you move toward things. This church wouldn't be up on this hill if you guys wouldn't have responded to the little measure of faith that God gave you along the way. And you know that this wasn't the end. This was the beginning of another level of outreach to our community and things of that nature. And so, like, I've seen you respond to faith and going and visiting loved ones. And I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to kind of put Bill and Sharon on the spot here. Whenever I put out the fact that I thought God was calling us to go to Mexico, I argued with God for over a year on that because I didn't think anybody in this church would go with me. I'm going to be honest with you. That's how little of faith mine was. And you know, I'm going to tell you, Bill and Sharon were probably not the first two people I would have thought would have volunteered to go. Because Bill had already told me, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." He wasn't getting on an airplane. And lo and behold, Bill and Sharon felt like God was in it. And we went together, and we saw 50 people give their hearts to Jesus that week. And it was so worth whatever the sacrifice we had to go through to get there. Amen. It was awesome. We had all kinds of spiritual battle that we went through. We had battle with the food. Amen. Bill was never so happy to see another hot dog again whenever he got back to the American airport. But guys, the deal is, if we'll follow Jesus, he still does awesome stuff. He's still the same great God who does miracles. You know why we're not seeing more miracles today? I think because we're ceasing to really follow his leading, to be sensitive to him. And it takes time. Guys, here's the deal. Jesus is still the only one who can open those doors. God himself, in Revelation chapter 3, verse 7, he's identifying himself to different churches. There are seven churches he's writing these letters to. To the church of Philadelphia, he says, "These things says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens." Guys, in another place it talks about there being an open door of ministry that no one else could close. And guys, whenever God opens a door, we need to go through it. We need to not argue. We need to not delay. We need to do it immediately. It's very important that we do. Let's see that map this time. I don't know if you guys can see it real well from where you're at. You may, if you're toward the back, you can just turn around and look. But you can see these different traces on the map. And I was taught how to use this pointer. But these traces on the map, you see, I never realized. Okay, here's Antioch right over here, where I put the pointer, if you can see it. And so down further south is Jerusalem, okay, right in here where the pointer's sitting. And so Paul went from having that meeting, he went up here to Antioch. And if you'll notice where I put the pointer right now, that's Tarsus. Where was Paul from originally? Tarsus. And so here's the deal, guys. This is the second time Paul's gone through this region since he's become missionary, since he's become a Christian. And what he did, he actually went back to his home first. Once he was prepared, he went to the people he knew with the gospel first. And then he understood the culture, so he continued to go further north. And if you look at how you can see all the traces. These were the different missionary journeys. Okay, the blue one was the original one down a little bit lower here. And he went to all these different places. And then as he went on more trips, he went to more places. Here's his second missionary journey. This is one we're talking about here. And so he went up through here, and he wanted to go over here, but he couldn't. There was stuff preventing him from going up here to Bithynia. Okay, and so he just went further south, and he went across into Macedonia. You see, he just followed God wherever God went, but he was going. Here's the deal. Did you ever drive a car that didn't have power steering? You've had trucks without power steering, haven't you, Jimmy?
Oh, yeah.
How easy is it to steer a car whenever it's sitting still?
Not
very easy. Yeah, you got to get the car moving. If you get the car moving, it's easy to steer. There's nothing to it. Even a truck loaded down and everything else. But just try to sit there and turn the steering wheels like you can't do it unless it's moving. You see, God can't even steer us till we get moving. When we get moving, then he starts using us in powerful ways. And so, you know, you may feel like, man, I am right where God's opened the doors for me. And if you are, you continue to just serve there. Boy, we can see Paul, he was a moving man, wasn't he? He went all around. And then he went back. That's why there's double arrows there. Another time, he went down over here and then come back through Cyprus, actually. And that's where they sent Barnabas. And Paul went back to Cyprus immediately while Paul went back up to Antioch. What I'm trying to show you here is, guys, Paul went where doors were opened. When God gives us an open door for ministry, let's go through it. And I'm just going to say, we've got an open door at the schools right now. I think that's an important open door, don't you think, Sister Shirley? It's important enough that we need to continue to go and encourage kids there. I think it's such a blessing to get stopped in the hallway by a school administrator and told that they're really glad we're there. That the mentoring program, we've got four mentors right now. They said that they have heard from the primary and elementary that has already shown some good fruit. We need more mentors. We're going to have an opportunity for more people to sign up on the 31st of March. We're going to have the guy who leads the mentoring program come and give us another small presentation and have more opportunity for people to get trained. But I'm going to tell you, there's an open door. They've already told me, like, multiple times, we have got way more kids than what we have mentors. And what it requires of us is 30 minutes a week is basically a plus your drive to and fro, 30 minutes a week. And so if you can carve that out during their school hours, I can tell you it's really important. You know, if you can't, I understand. We've all got different situations. But I'm saying there's an open door. We see an open door, we want to go through it. Because that's where God's working. Okay? Now, he's working in other places too. He may just not be so far along with some of the other situations. But let's go where it's ripe. And the first thing we got to do is make sure our relationship with God is good, right? So do you feel like you're walking as closely with Jesus now as He wants you to. I can tell you, I can always work on it. You know, it's got to start somewhere, first of all. You know, if you're here and you haven't really started a relationship with Jesus, today would be a great day to get started. Literally, He's calling out to you, and that's why your heart's feeling that way, if you're feeling that way. And you just need to say, Lord, forgive me. I know I'm a sinner, but I want to follow You. I believe You're the way. I believe You died for my sins. You're the only way to be reconciled to the Father. That would be the beginning step of a relationship with Jesus. Now, beyond that, that's not it. Some of us would say, well, hey, I'm going to heaven. What difference does the rest of it make? I think one of the fruits that you're going to heaven is that you actually serve Him while you're here. That's not how you get to heaven, but I think it's a fruit, right? You got fruit trees at home? Anybody have a fruit tree? How do you know what kind of tree it is for sure? It's when that type of fruit comes on it. I've got some trees, and I still don't know for sure what they are because they've never gotten any fruit. But you see, Jesus wants to grow that fruit on your tree. And it's the Holy Spirit that does it, but you need to get closer to Him in a daily walk with Him. And it requires daily Bible study. It requires daily prayer time. It requires a daily relationship. Okay? He's going to, as long as that vehicle's already moving, like we said, it's easy to steer it and get it going in the right direction. So let's all be moving with God. Let's be moving with God. Let's pray. Dear God, help us to continue to move with You. Lord, we see Paul moved with You, and he stopped when You said stop. I'm sure he didn't do it all perfectly, but he believed those visions were from You. He knew that it was You directing him because he was praying already. He was already asking. He was already desiring to go. And so it was really easy to move him in the right direction. So help us to have that same kind of desire, Lord, to go where those doors are open. Right here, starting in our own community. So, Lord, help us to be willing. In Jesus' name, amen.